Hello and welcome to A Vague Idea. This is a comedy trivia podcast. I'm Nate Regolia. Each week, we subject our guests to a list of topics to find out if they have a vague idea. And this week, we're going to be talking about the sounds of that emblematic, time-tested, oft-replayed decade, the 1980s. We're talking about 80s music. And with me, as a guest for a special one-on-one showdown show, which actually it's not going to be like a showdown because I'm not going to play. I'm just going to host. We have returning guest Brian Dixon. Brian, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So I'm going to let you know, because we don't have a competitor for you this evening, what we're going to do is you have to score 30 points to win this episode of A Vague Idea. And if everybody remembers, or if anybody listens to this show, I don't know, do you?
Long you do. Pause.
Since the points are almost completely arbitrary, it's very possible you'll score 30 points or many, many more. But I'm going to set the bar there. You score 30 points, you win this week's episode. And the only competition is against yourself. But we're going to talk about 80s music. So, you know, you were born before the 80s, slightly. Was it 79,
true.
78, something like that?
77.
Yeah, 77. Hey, 77.
Late Gen X.
Your parents witnessed the bicentennial of this great country and said, I feel romantic. And then they made
and the death of Elvis that same year.
Yeah, which, I mean, everybody was like, we got to fuck after Elvis died. Because we don't know when's death coming for us? Is the dark scythe of the Grim Reaper coming for me?
Honey, will you put on that suit one more time for me?
And it's just that Mr. Plow jacket that Homer had. So okay, let's just jump right in and talk about this. So both of us, I was born in 81. So you had a little bit more awareness during the 80s than I did, but not a whole lot. I mean, we're both PhDs in early childhood development, so I think we can both say that with a lot of confidence. Not a lot. I want to talk about favorite 80s like music and bands real quick. I'm gonna just throw my favorite 80s song is Everybody Wants to Rule the World by Tears for Fears. I think it has such a great like opening riff. It has such a great lyrical concept, and it's just a good song. Like whenever it's covered, it's as good or better in some way. It's fantastic. There's so many good 80s songs though. So like who's your 80s band? Who's your 80s music? Like what's your feeling about this?
Well, you see, here's the thing. It's hard to separate it from the music videos.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's really hard. I mean, it is. I mean, for prep of the show, I really thought about like just finding some MTV or VH1 clips and doing a line of cocaine and just seeing what I could remember.
And how'd that go?
Well, I got my headband on, so that probably indicated where I ended up in my closet. I have a difficulty separating the music video. I always think about the Genesis song, This Is the World We Live In.
Oh,
is
nice.
That right? That
okay.
One?
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
I think about the sweating Ronald Reagan puppet rising from his bed and, you know, whatever nightmare he's going through.
This Is the World We Live In was by a Swedish band called Alcazar.
My bad.
Yeah.
It was that.
Or no, wait, that can't be right.
No.
No,
Genesis. Alcazar.
Okay. Okay.
Sure,
yeah. No. You're. Yep.
1001.
See, I googled too much. I found a song with that title by a band, but it was from like 2003. So there's absolutely no way. Okay. I think the Genesis song might be called Land of Confusion.
Yes. This is the land of confusion.
It does. Right. It has the horrendous, horrendous claymation puppet faces in the video.
Oh gosh. I thought I had nightmares from Dark Crystal, but that music video really got to me with the Phil Collins face. Jeez.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm holding it up to the camera for you.
Oh gosh.
In the middle.
Get that back, man. Like, there he is.
Like, why? Okay, you're Phil Collins.
And you're sitting here and somebody says, hey, Phil, we got this fantastic image for the video for you. And you're like, yep, I sign off on this. This is exactly how I want to be seen by people in perpetuity. I mean, wow. Big time wow.
It's like if Jabba the Hutt and Miss Piggy went ahead and fucked. You know, it's
oh, when like, you know they did. You know, wow. Shit got weird in that Henson workshop. They got down. Kermit wasn't always around. What do you expect her to do? She's a modern woman.
I mean, he was world tours all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Jeez. He's always just going around singing about how not easy it is being him while Piggy's at home going like, well, what am I doing? I need
Kermit
a little love.
Kermit the Frog was Tiger Woods before Tiger Woods. When we talk about crossing the pond, that's what that is.
Oh, shit. So you're saying Kermit the Frog went to like pick up Denny's waitresses while he was on the road?
Yes,
despite the fact,
of course
despite
he
the
did.
Fact that he has this just Romanesque blonde beauty at home waiting. I mean, Miss Piggy was not Swedish, but
Kermit went across the Gulf of Mexico and landed in one of those islands. And yes, there was a Denny's because we're talking about the spread of American capitalism.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's a Denny's everywhere.
Exactly.
There's a Denny's inside other Denny's. It's that scary. Store within a store shit. It's wrong.
And that tiny Denny's has the 99-cent specials.
Oh yeah. They have the littlest pies and those little pies.
The Grand Slam 99 cents.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. So that's the song I think about.
Yeah. Okay. So you're thinking about that Genesis song. Yeah. Which is interesting because it's such an indicative song of the era, right? Because it's both wrought with excess and like fraught with lamentation for the excess. Like it knows how fucked up it is, but it's also just going as fucked up as it can, which is pretty much kind of what the 80s was, right? Is it was like, okay, let's go as hard and as big as we can while also realizing that it's destroying us inside. And that's pretty, like almost every movie in the 80s is about that too. As is, I mean, the song Everybody Wants to Rule the World that I cited is about that too, right? This idea of, hey, I want to take everything. I want to be the top of the thing, knowing that I absolutely don't want to be the top of the thing and that it will destroy me to do it.
Wow.
And I don't want to bear any responsibility for that either.
Oh yeah, no responsibility. What I'm happy about though is that in the 30, 40 years since the 80s, accountability is way more common now in 2021 than it was back then, right? I mean, people are getting held accountable left and right.
It is so underrated.
Great job on the opening question, Brian. I'm going to give you 5 points. So look at that.
Yeah.
You only need 25 more. This is crazy.
I did not break a sweat. My headband is still dry.
The headband is dry. The glasses, not yet dewy. We are doing great. All right. So, Brian, we're going to jump into round number one. Do you have a vague idea about Martha Quinn?
God. I mean, no. No idea.
And none at all.
Getting dewy. No.
Do you want to make something up? You want to throw something at me?
I got two. I mean, I got like Martha Quinn as pre-Martha Stewart. I mean, her maiden name was Quinn. And so, you know, she had to definitely change her line of branding. I mean.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, what's
Martha Quinn living just didn't really
exactly.
Work anyway.
I mean, especially since if Martha Quinn is actually Dr. Quinn, the medicine woman, which I don't even think was an 80s show. And I don't even think she was a musician that did the score for the score for the show. And I don't even think it was, I think it was a 90s show. So I think
yeah. Dr. Quinn Medicine Woman is a weird one because it, I don't remember when it was on. I just know that my parents watched it for a period of time. So it had to have been on before 1994, because that's when my parents got divorced, for us to have all watched it together. But I don't know. Maybe it started in the late 80s. Maybe not. But yeah,
maybe not.
Martha Quinn, Medicine Woman. That's an interesting one, too. I like that.
Yeah. We're circling back.
Martha Quinn was one of the original MTV VJs.
Oh gosh,
she had a very like just sort of girl next door look, very, you know, like very traditional sort of journalist vibe too. But yeah, she was one of that first, the first group of those VJs. And
that's
so
awesome.
So she started doing that in like 83 or something, or 81. I don't remember. But yeah, she was on MTV through the early 90s and everything too. She was like,
Oh my gosh.
She was one of the people who got to know briefly before she left the network.
Before we had Carson Daly saturation.
Yeah. Yeah, before we got CDS. Yeah.
which is a rare STD in the 80s, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Talk to Tara Reid about it. She got a case. comedy show. Okay, Brian, I'm going to give you 2 points for your two made-up ideas on Martha Quinn. So that's
surprised
good.
I didn't go negative because that had nothing to do with music, so I appreciate that.
No, you brought up I was thinking Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman. You brought it up. You made my dreams come true. We're good. And You Make My Dreams Come True is a song by Hall & Oates, so it connects.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. All right.
God bless it. God bless the cliched 80s.
I know, it's so good. All right, we're going to do round number 2. Do you have a vague idea, Brian, about Jump for My Love? That was Jump with For My Love in parentheses. I'm telling
jump
the listener.
In. You make my heart, you make me happy. Jump if you want me. Wait, what's the next line? I kiss you through the night, babe. Sounds like I'll kiss you through the night, babe. Jump for my love. That's not the Pointer Sisters, is it?
It is the Pointer Sisters, correct.
Oh, yes.
Very good. Very good.
Yes.
Hell yeah.
Jump
Hell yeah.
For my love.
I really appreciate the singing too. I was going to try. I'm trying to look up the lyrics here real quick so that I can help you out.
Well, there's that when they go through that line where I can't really know what they're saying and I never bothered to look it up, but they do that. I think there's like that shoulder shrug. Jump, jump. There's like a shoulder shrug.
Oh yeah, there was a whole, I mean, that was such a big song. Jump, it was such a huge song. And especially considering like the Pointer Sisters are not an originally of the 80s act. They're like a 60s act. And this was a comeback song.
Right.
So first stanza of the lyrics. Your eyes tell me how you want me. I can feel it in your heartbeat. I know you like what you see. Hold me. I'll give you all that you need. Wrap your love around me. You're so excited I can feel you. Gross, Pointer Sisters. Getting hotter. Oh, baby. I'll take you down. I'll take you down. Where no one's ever gone before. No one's ever gone before, but you seem to know exactly what you're doing. And if you want more, more than jump for my love, jump in and feel my touch. Jump if you want to taste my kisses in the night, then jump and so forth. Great. Yeah. This is like a classic 80s song, right? Like I think anybody knows this song. And I feel like it was a soundtrack item to so many movies for a window of like 8 years. And then it hasn't been in anything for a while.
For some reason, why do I think it might've been in New Jack City? Or what was it? Juice too? Those late 80s. Those were really good movies, actually, I thought.
I'm looking up the New Jack City soundtrack to confirm your thought.
It probably was in Coming to America, I bet.
Oh yeah, that seems totally like.
I wonder. You're probably
no,
right.
Like yeah, it wasn't on the New Jack City, but that's okay.
Oh, okay.
It is. It's just like, I don't know. It's crazy because it's one of these like. It's a song that's just, it doesn't have a lot of depth. It's not complicated. It's just poppy and enjoyable. And it just hits all the right buttons. And then it's done. It's just here and gone very quickly. But you want to jump for that love. You're ready to jump for that love.
Makes you wonder if they're like, I got a picture of a bedroom scene here. And the woman's like, are you going to jump? Are you going to jump?
Yeah. Right? Like there is a situation where this is a very tense moment between like this is a power struggle in a relationship. And it's like, no, jump for me. When I say jump, you say how high, right? For my love. God damn it.
Jump in.
Jump in. If you want to feel my touch, jump. Yeah. I mean, It could also just be the sort of sexual proclivities of a horror writer. You have to jump for my love. So I'm going to scare you. And that's what I'm here for. Right. It's just kind of a Wes Craven presents Jump for My Love. All right, Brian, I'm going to give you 3 points.
Sweet.
And now we're going to play our first game. We're going to play album title or not. So I'm going to name one word album titles from the 1980s. And you need to tell me, is it a real album title or not? And if you happen to know the artist's name of the album, if the album title is correct, you tell me. Okay. So number one, Closer. Is that an album title or not?
Why do I want to say it's Kenny G? And it's real. And it's real.
Well, it is real. So you're going to get a point for that. But it is not Kenny G.
Damn it.
It is an album by Joy Division, which is possibly the exact opposite of Kenny G. Or maybe the parallel universe Kenny G. I don't know. It's sort of like
Bizarro Kenny G.
Yeah, there's something that's there's a smoothness to it. There's an attention to detail. And there's something mournful about Kenny G's soprano saxophone from time to time.
I totally picture him in a
wild hair. Go ahead.
I totally picture it in a noir film, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Number two is Sports, an album title from the 80s or not?
No, not a title.
Ah, I'm sorry. Sports is an album by Huey Lewis and the News.
Really?
Oh yeah. It's the one where they're all like standing in a sports bar on the cover. And that's like the thing. And it has the Heart of Rock and Roll on it.
Oh, God.
Which is still beaten. It also has I Want a New Drug that got Huey Lewis sued, or that allowed him to sue the Ghostbusters guy, Ray Parker Jr.
Yeah.
And If This Is It is on there too. If This Is It.
Yes. I really want to know.
Yeah, that one. Oh, and Working for a Living is on it too. So, I mean,
jeez,
come on.
But who would have thought that would be the name of the...
Because it's just such an 80s jam to be like, hey, look, we're just guys. We're just guys hanging out in a bar. We're watching sports.
Oh, God, that's totally like, that's like the leftover vestiges of Mad Men.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, that's Huey Lewis is the leftover vestiges of Mad Men. Yes. Like, that's
there
how
you
we
go.
Know.
We're going to, by naming this album Sports, we're going to retain any scrap of chauvinistic behavior and leave it all on the line. Cause this is it.
This is it. That's how the whole thing went. That was a little scene we were doing. Oh my God, this is it. All right. Number three, 1985. Is that an album title from the 80s or not?
Yes. But I want to say it's one of the, not the glam rock bands, but the Balladeers. It's one of those Balladeers like REO Speedwagon or Chicago, or it's one of those. But I'm going yes.
It's okay. So here's the problem. It's not, because 1984 was.
That's what I was thinking about.
And the album 1984 was by Van Halen, which is kind of, I mean, not even really a hair band, not really a ballad band. I don't know. It's tough.
Call it glam rock.
All right.
You're going to half a point.
You know what? I was debating it. I'm going to allow you to badger me. I'm giving you half a point. All right, number four, was Murmur a 1980s album title or not?
Jeez. That's Murmur by Barry White.
I mean, are you saying yes, that it was an 80s title? Well, yeah, you're correct that it was. It's an REM record.
Damn it.
It's a good album, too. Real good album. But hey, you're not going to lose any points for guessing Barry White. Also, I'm going to give you half a point more, because if anybody was going to like murmur something and have it be sexy,
that's what
as
I'm
fuck,
saying.
It's Barry White. So I'm giving you another half a point.
I wasn't listening to REM yet. So
neither of us were listening to REM yet. It was like college rock in 1984 or something. So we were not listening to REM yet at that point. But great job. You get 3 points.
Woohoo! On
album title or not.
That was a good one.
Yeah, that was good. You know, you worked the system a little bit. You gamed it. I like it. I believe in your tenacity. So let's hop into round number three. You ready?
Let's do it.
Let us do it. Round number three. Do you have a vague idea about 80s on eight? 80s on eight.
80s on eight. Golly. No idea. I don't even know if I could take a stab at this either. 80s on eight.
80s on eight.
Yeah. No.
No? All right.
No, man. No.
All right. Well, here's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna give you 2 points because this one was hard. And come on, who am I playing with? 80s on eight is a Sirius XM 80s satellite radio station.
Oh, geez.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's where you could use today's technology to listen to the 80s music.
And I'm assuming you could stream that on through the web.
I bet you could.
Otherwise, I'm probably not going near satellite radio for who knows how many years.
Oh yeah, I mean, look, if we don't have it now, odds are good we're probably never gonna have it because I just don't think it's
right?
That long.
I still have Luddite tendencies. So,
oh, well, I mean, I don't know. Like the only people I know who use satellite radio use it in their vehicles, and it's usually because they bought a new car and the car came with the Sirius XM subscription, and they just don't think about it. Like I don't have any reason to get like satellite radio. I don't want like NASA looking at me while I'm listening to Huey Lewis in the news. Satellite radio, come on.
I still have a CD player.
There you go. Better than having a portable record player, did you? I was doing research for another episode of this, trying to find some weird stuff. And there was a period in the early 80s when they made a portable record player that was like a Walkman, but you put a record in it and the needle was just built into the body of the thing. So you had this huge like satchel connected to headphones. And of course, like, what are you going to do? Because you can't move. Like, if you move, the record's going to skip. So I don't know, like, what are you going to do? You're not going to run. You're going to put your 12-inch of Rumors on and go for a run. It's not going to work.
Hey, man, can I see that vinyl you're rocking? Nah.
Yeah. This is literally the least portable medium available. You cannot see it.
You take a couple of steps. Oh, fuck. I ruined it.
Right. Well, and especially because, like, in that period of time, you would think that, like, they did that, but no one made like a Laserdisc player that was portable that could play music. Cause you remember Laserdisc, right? Like that was a medium for movies. And yet, no, you probably could have loaded music onto a Laserdisc too and been like, well, here, carry like a 12-inch, a 14-inch square box around and listen to this Laserdisc of Sports by Huey Lewis in the News. And you'd be like, yeah, this is great. This is exactly how I was supposed to live. Never happened. We had to wait until CDs into the decade. So yeah, great job on 80s on the eights or on eight. I'm giving you 2 points because that wasn't fair. That wasn't fair at all.
Especially for someone who has an 05 Corolla.
Yeah. Which granted, fine automobile. Gotta say.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. It's a good car.
Given you many rides.
You have. Everyone reliable. I am in one piece. I enjoyed the smells, the sights, the vents, the heat. So good. Up and down.
And the hand crank windows.
Oh, I honestly love hand crank windows. I think that, you know, there's something powerful about actually having to make that effort. Plus, they don't break that way very easily. Like, you really have to screw up a hand crank window. If your little battery motor thing in the door breaks, you're never getting out of your car again. You could die in there. I've read and seen Christine. I don't want anything to do with windows that can move themselves. Hey, it's time for round number four. Brian, do you have a vague idea about La Isla Bonita? Or you know this.
The Madonna song?
Yeah, you do.
Yes. Talk about that song. Gosh, this isn't where she's serenading a gentleman named Pedro, is it?
I think it is. I think it is.
It is?
Well, okay, no, I don't know. She mentions San Pedro. She fell in love with San Pedro. Right. Yeah. The first line is, ¿Cómo puede ser verdad?
Tell me the truth?
How can it be true? Is that what it is?
Yeah, how can it be true? Yeah, yeah.
How can it be true?
How can it be true? All I can remember is her dancing on the beach with some sort of garland or scarf. It's almost like, here, come vacation with me. Holiday, celebrate almost.
It would be so nice.
It would be. It's a precursor to holiday. That's what it is. I'm trying to remember some of the more of the lyrics. San Pedro. Jeez.
Yeah, I mean, it has a Spanish flair.
But
then it's all just kind of pseudo. I want 80s to be Beach Boy lyrics.
I want to be where the sun never. When it's time for fiesta. Blah 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 blah.
I want to be where the sun warms the sky. When it's time for siesta, you can watch them go by.
Go by. Beautiful faces and something of this world.
No cares in the world.
When a boy loves a girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it has the Spanish guitar.
Yep. Ding, ding, ding. Exactly. Ah, very good. Yes. Yes. A song from the sort of expansion age of Madonna's catalog when, you know, we gotta try some new stuff. We gotta try some new stuff. So we're going to appropriate some stuff. 1986.
Yeah, I was about to say, what can we engulf?
Yeah, we can pull something in. Madonna's mesh gloves can grasp yet more culture.
Yes.
Yeah. Very good. I'm going to give you 4 points.
Yes.
All right. Well, we're moving pretty fast, Brian. It's time to play our second game. It's time to play Bananarama or Bangles.
Oh, Bananarama with the Bangles?
So I'm going to name a song title, and you have to tell me, is it a song by Bananarama or the Bangles? Okay, you ready?
the both bands probably looked the same.
similar. I mean, girl groups, for sure.
Right.
So number one is the wonderful classic song that really, I mean, fantastic song, Cruel Summer. Is that Bananarama or the Bangles?
That's Bananarama.
You are correct.
It's a cruel summer. The voices just didn't match in my head. I was like, that's not the Bangles.
Yeah. Bananarama is correct. Very good. Very good. Okay. Number two, Walk Like an Egyptian.
Ah, Bangles.
Bangles, indeed. Very good.
Yeah.
All right. What about Manic Monday? Manic Monday.
It's just another Manic Monday.
Oh,
I wish it were. That's Bananarama.
It is the Bangles.
Wow.
No points there. Sorry, Brian.
Damn.
All right. You got one more. You have one more try here. I heard a rumor. Now, just if this helps you at all, the word rumor in the song title is spelled with a U. Does that help you out?
Is that Bananarama?
It is Bananarama, yeah, because Bananarama is a British group.
Oh my gosh. Let's call this Ruma.
it's a Ruma. They had all these extra U's lying around. And they had use them.
Is it a rumor about the Queen?
Oh man, I don't know.
Is it a rumor about Margaret Thatcher? Is it a rumor about the Iron Lady?
I mean, any rumors about the Iron Lady, probably true. To my understanding.
Is worth putting in a song.
I don't even know. Yeah, I don't even know if I've ever heard the song I Heard a Rumor.
I don't think I have either.
Who needs friends who never show? I'll tell you what you want to know. I could have saved a broken heart if I'd found out long ago. I'm just thinking about those lonely nights when I waited for your call till I found out all my friends were right. I didn't know you at all. I heard a rumor. Ooh, I heard a rumor. They say you got a broken heart. And on and on. Yeah, I'm sure it's good. I'll listen to it later.
That seems like it's the younger sister or sibling of the other song in the 80s. Heard from someone who heard from someone else. Well, that was one of the balladeer groups.
Everybody was always hearing stuff. It started with a grapevine, and then it resulted in this rumor stuff. It's a mess.
Who's going to untangle it? In the land of confusion, who's gonna untangle it?
In the land of confusion, the blind man rules. Is that a thing? Is that an idiom?
That's a rumor.
Okay, well, good. As long as something I did was at least sort of ironically self-reflexive, I'm happy about it. All right, great job on Bananarama or the Bengals. You got 3 points there. So Brian, look, we've got two sections left, and you have 22 points. You're in a great spot. You're in a good position to win this game. You need 8 points. You got two sections left. It's all in your hands, except for the part that's in my hands, which is the arbitrariness of the scoring.
I know. I need to do a Reggie Miller 8 points in 6 seconds from the 90s here.
Yeah, I mean, if you feel like just kind of pushing me away from you so that you can get the extra space to take a shot, that's a good way to go. You're bony, mm-hmm. so it won't mm-hmm. look like you did it.
No harm, no foul. I mean, yeah, exactly. If this is the 80s, if this is the 80s, we're talking about.
If this is the 80s, like, yeah, if this is the 80s, you're breaking my nose and it's right. not even a thing. They're just like, oh, get the bloody guy off the court for 5 minutes.
Right, right. Yeah. You just go sit over there, take a timeout.
Yeah. And we'll send Billy Laimbeer at you. Get ready. Coming in.
He's our motivational speaker.
Bill Laimbeer's got an unopened can of twisted tea and a speech for you. So get ready. All right.
Let's do this.
It's time. Hey, you know what? Actually, I threw a bonus in here, a bonus game. Oh. Your chances are improving. We're going to play a bonus game. It's time for the Thunderdome. Each week in the Thunderdome, two famed entities battle to the death, and you're going to tell me which of these two 80s icons with regal nicknames are going to survive in this battle. So we have one, the King of Pop, Michael Jackson, who of course was at the peak of his powers in the early 80s, and we have the Prince of Darkness, Ozzy Osbourne, who returned to power in the early 80s. Who wins in a battle to the death in the Thunderdome? And you can use whatever rubric or metrics you like. It doesn't have to be like, well, Ozzy bit the head off a bat, so obviously he's going to kill Michael Jackson because he's a little pipsqueak guy. No, you can be like, oh, Michael Jackson's going to like smooth criminal him to death. I don't know. So let me know what you think.
This is a primo title matchup. Not one I was expecting. I'm going to have to pick Michael Jackson.
All right.
Simply because his peak in the 80s probably lasted a decade.
Oh yeah.
If you want to throw in his Jackson 5 and then roll that all the way to 89, that guy could not be touched.
Yeah. Absolutely. The cumulative power is just unrivaled.
Yeah. And as you said, smooth criminal, he could, somehow lean his way into the most powerful headbutt into Ozzy Osbourne's chest and do one of those Zidane collapses right there. And then moonwalk away. So there you go. That's my pick.
And the moonwalk is a little discussed evasive maneuver. Like, you think about, if you're in a fight and you can moonwalk right back away from where, like, you land a kick on somebody, if Daniel LaRusso at the end of Karate Kid did that crane kick and then moonwalked away from Johnny Lawrence, that movie's like 100% better. I'm sorry. Like, that movie wins Oscars, Best Picture Oscars for the next 5 years.
That if he does that move makes it into Mortal Kombat.
Oh, and yeah. Yeah.
That.
Yeah. Which, that would be amazing. I would like if they should put Karate Kid characters in Mortal Kombat. If the developers of Mortal Kombat are listening to the show, guys, DLC opportunity. Throw them in. Give them cool fatalities.
Cobra Kai, anybody?
Yeah.
Cobra Kai.
Cobra Kai is a great show. Have you watched it?
No.
Oh, Brian, you got to watch this show. We're talking about the 80s. Brian, you got to watch Cobra Kai. It's so good.
I've heard it's bad good.
I mean, I think it's good. It's like the kind, I mean, maybe it's the year of pandemic, but Jenny and I watched the whole thing because it's on Netflix now. We watched all three seasons. It's really enjoyable. It delves into things like the toxic masculinity, into spiritualism into just like male grudges and the foolishness of men, it's really pretty thoughtful. It's a smart show. It is also like goofy because people just fight each other a lot in ways where you're like, that's not at all realistic, but I love it.
Does Miyagi make it a Yoda-like appearance?
No. Yeah. I mean, they had used a lot of footage from the old movies. But yeah, no, they didn't like CG Pat Morita into the show, which thank God.
That's
they did
a shame.
Not. Cause wow. If they did that, that's a little like, what was it like Gene Kelly dancing with a vacuum or Fred Astaire dancing with a vacuum was a thing like in the early 2000s. That's sinful. Yeah. You don't cram Pat Morita's ghost into a movie just to up it a little bit. Ugh, gross. Great job on the Thunderdome, Brian. You were absolutely correct. Michael Jackson's just sheer force of power and prestige, especially in the 80s. No contest. 2 points. And now, from the makers of Pomme ou Pomme de Terre, it's La Chose Française Arbitraire. That's the arbitrary French thing, and the only thing that's French about it is the name. So here's the big arbitrary question I have for you, Brian. Does listening to music from the 80s and the nostalgia that's connected to it cause us to remember that decade falsely?
Oh, gosh.
Woo. That's right. You thought it was all softballs, but nope. Here comes the knuckler.
I love this question. I love this question. I think it depends on what drug you were using back then.
It's true. Some more conducive to memory than others.
I would say it's a yes and a no question. I think definitely yes, especially with all the heartbreak songs. I mean, of course, heartbreak songs are universal. They carry over in any decade. It doesn't matter. But those songs especially really nailed a certain generation. And you still have them being played today. And you still have them at weddings. I mean, we can't get away from them. I think the false memory, the false nostalgia is because of the excess of it all. It's like you don't really know what's lurking underneath. And there was a lot of bad shit going on.
Yeah.
I mean, it's when I think about LGBTQI rights right now, I think about what that demographic was going through.
Yeah, you've got the AIDS crisis is that decade.
Yeah. I mean, Ryan White, people of our generation do not forget that name. And then the no part is, I would say no, just because so much music does this. It puts you in a spot and you remember perhaps when the first time you heard that song, or you were having a good time with your friends when that song played, or you were, since we're talking about jump, you were probably jumping into somebody's pants when you heard a song, maybe at a club something.
Specifically for their love.
Yes, it's yeah. All about,
I mean,
that.
We were more naive then.
Hey,
there we go. For the listener, we did it like an Air 5.
Yeah, DARE program alum here.
Oh, yeah, there you go, right? Here's how you find drugs. Here's what drugs do. Don't ever do them. Cool. So that was call this guy and it'll be a lot of fun, but don't do it. Okay, I won't call it. Don't worry.
And here's a display case. Yeah. Here's a display case. I'm tempting you to come over here and steal some.
Yeah. Officer Bob has a kilo of marijuana. So for you to look at just what a block of this stuff looks like, doesn't that smell bad, kids? You don't want to smoke this.
We just wait, found this. We just got this morning off some guy on the highway. Don't tell anybody.
Right.
The no part is that, like I said, I think just every song that you might remember well puts you in a spot like that, just like the 80s would. So I just think that's a universal thing with music, especially heartbreak songs.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. Cause I think, you know, when I wrote the question, I got a little hung up on the idea that it seems to me that a lot of people remember the 80s as just the media properties that happened, but there's less and less conversation about just kind of how destructive governance was and how kind of torn up the world was and complicated and everything else. But to your point, like, if you were there, if you were alive then listening to this music, you have real tangible memories connected to it that are going to be real and heartfelt. the issue comes when a lot of these things now are being sort of sold to us again because of our age group being of the peak buying power, quotes, ha ha ha, not either of us probably, but some people our age have a lot of money, and boy howdy, companies want them to spend it, and they're going to play 80s music to remind you that you're young and you can still buy a kite board or jump out of an airplane, or maybe you want short-term health insurance for some reason. I don't know. But yeah, it's interesting because it is like there's a manipulation factor to the nostalgia, but it's not total, because if you were there when it happened, you don't listen to the song and go, oh, that's catchy, and I associate it with jeans. You go, oh no, that was the song that was playing when I saw that like the fucking Berlin Wall was coming down or whatever. So yeah, very good. Yeah. I'm going to give you 4 points for La Chose Française Arbitraire.
It's getting close.
And you got 4 points because you did the very French thing, which is to present both arguments and present ways in which both of them were yet correct and incorrect. It's very good. Very good.
So yeah, Brian, alum. That was part of the being.
yeah. So you are 2 points away from the 30-point line, and there is one topic left. How confident do you feel right now on a scale of 1 to 10 that you're going to be able to cross that 30-point line?
Let me check what my headband says. I think we're good to go.
All right.
It's it needs a little bit of a downy paper towel, but we're good.
Okay, but as long as you're in downy territory and not huggy territory, I think we're doing good, right?
Yeah.
You don't need that much absorption. All right. Well, here we go into the final topic. Brian, do you have a vague idea about abracadabra?
The hell?
Oh, no. Abracadabra.
This is a band that really existed?
Well, it's not necessarily a band, I'll tell you that much.
Oh.
It might be a song by a band. And you've definitely heard the song and of the band. I'm 99.9% sure that you have heard this song and have heard of the band.
Oh, jeez. Oh, my gosh. How the hell do you fit abracadabra in a song? Who the hell came up with the rhyme schemes here? Who the hell?
Okay, here. I'm going to give you a little extra help. The chorus to the song is abra, abracadabra. I want to reach out and grab you. Abra, abracadabra, abracadabra. Does that help? Does that tip you off at all?
Why do I feel like this is the height of I could do anything I want because I can make a song like this?
Yeah, I don't think you'd be wrong, especially in this case. So.
why do I want to say it's New Edition, but I don't think it's them? And then I want to say, who was the boy band after them that was? I could just hear this whisper, abracadabra, yeah, yeah, abracadabra, I'm gonna grab you, yeah, yeah.
See, but when you whisper it, it really sounds creepy. If you're saying, if you're whispering abracadabra creepy. And then threatening to grab somebody, I don't think that's good.
Still creepy regardless.
I'm going to play a little bit of the song for you, okay? So hopefully this won't sound too terrible. That's probably more than I'm allowed to legally play, but I don't think anybody will listen to this show, so it's fine.
I'll tell you what, though, that was very pleasant.
That's the thing. It's an entirely inoffensive song. If you can think of an inoffensive band They weren't prominent in the 80s, but this was their 80s comeback kind of song. So I don't know if that helps you at all. Oh man, yeah, it would be
Hall & Oates.
It's not Hall & Oates. It's a song by Steve Miller Band.
Oh,
Steve Miller Band. Yeah, yeah.
So they were getting into the keyboard.
Yeah, yeah. You got that synth, the whoosh that had to happen, the whole da, 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 da. Yeah. Which I mean, honestly, I don't understand why all of us don't just have whoosh sounds when we talk. Like, isn't that the ultimate like audio filter? Is just we should sell phones and Zoom where it just whooshes after you talk so that it adds gravitas to whatever you just said. But yeah, so this is a 1982 song by Steve Miller Band.
Oh man, I've lost by 2 points. Oh, Steve Miller, why can't you do your abracadabra to give me 2 points?
You know what? Actually, Steve Miller, right here. I just got a call from the studio. Yep. Yep. Okay. Yeah. No, Steve Miller would like to give you 2 points. And
That guy.
Who am I to turn down the Desperado himself? No, that's an Eagles song.
No, that's an Eagles song.
Yeah. What's a Steve Miller Band song? Space Cowboy. Who am I? let's take that again. Okay. Who am I to turn down the Space Cowboy himself? 2 points for you, Brian.
Who Am I is actually a great Jackie Chan movie too.
Ooh, okay. Is it a 80s Jackie Chan movie?
Uh-huh. The opening scene is like he of course has a fight scene, but then he runs up this hill and gets on his knees and yells out, "Who am I?" Who
I mean, look, I don't know. I feel like that's the most relatable scene in a film because you and I have both on separate occasions had instances where we fought our way down a cargo ship, finally made it to the pier after besting 15 to 30 foes, and then fall to our knees just demanding from the heavens to tell us who we are.
And that's what Ozzy would do after Michael would kick his ass. I mean,
that's a good point. That's a good point.
And then hit me with a crazy train. And then
Yeah. It's just Thomas the Tank Engine, because that is a crazy train. It has a face. What is going on?
Oh, that Thomas mischief again.
It's going to run right off the tracks. It's dangerous. Got Casey Jones at the wheel. We're just going to start throwing references in. This is how the show ends. So, Brian, 30 points. You won.
Yes.
That's so exciting. It was so close, too.
It
required a call from Steve Miller to ensure your victory. But hey, I mean, you know, sometimes the governor calls to halt an execution. Steve Miller called to make sure you won a vague idea this week. So tell me, sir, is there anything that you would like to plug that you want the listeners to know about? Because as a winner, you're entitled to say whatever the hell you please.
All I can say is just keep surviving, y'all.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a big one.
Find your lucky headband.
Yeah, we're looking. I mean, I think we're in a goodish spot, right? Because vaccines are sort of starting to happen, kind of a little bit, and it'll be summer again soon, so at least we'll all be able to go outside and avoid each other. So that's exciting.
So you're saying I could possibly wave to you at that point?
Oh hell yeah! We're gonna do so much waving this summer. I can't wait.
Oh, waving and head nods.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I mean we got to figure out something because at some point, once it's like, hey, most of the, you know, I hope that we're as an educator, do you get to get vaccinated earlier? Is that a thing?
I am in the 1B group, I think.
Okay. I don't even think I get a group. Yeah. I think I'm in like the general boarding section for Southwest, where they're just like, no, you just fight for whatever 3 seats are left.
Yeah, yeah. And if we don't have any seats, then maybe we can fit you in the luggage compartment.
And then that's fine. I don't mind. I'll hang out down there. It's cold, but you know, I'm going to get where I'm going. But yeah, you and I will need to make a way to hang out this summer, at least a couple of times, you know, God willing, it'll be really safe to do it. But if it's not, we'll just go sit on a patio and drink beers. I haven't sat on a patio and drank beers in like 4 or 5 months. And I've only done that the one time. So
I did it once at a friend's house in the summer, and it was kind of a fluke. And so that was really the last time anything like that happened.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And it was kind of surreal too. It was strange. The normal.
I didn't know how to handle myself. I was just gushing with happiness. Yeah. I just wanted humans. To like pray. I just wanted to praise everybody for being there.
Yeah.
You, yes, you, another air hug.
Yeah. Now we finally understand what it means to be a grandmother on a holiday. You're just like, oh my God, I'm so happy all of you were here. And then you're just grabbing cheeks, twisting and pinching and kissing. I mean, obviously none of that with COVID, but emotionally twisting and pinching and kissing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, no. Yeah. Whole bunch of internal twisting and kissing.
Oh yeah. That's
jump in.
I think that's the name for your next poetry chapbook.
Jump in?
No, the whole bunch of inside twisting and hugging and kissing.
Oh, a whole bunch of, what was that? Oh God, no, a whole bunch of hunk of burning love.
Yeah. Hey, you said it, and there's no way that with this recorded that we're either of us are going to listen to it again, so we'll never know.
Okay, good.
Anything else you want to plug aside from continuing to survive?
I'm just excited that writing is going well. I think I might have my draft of my novel done by the summer.
Excellent. Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have to trade manuscripts, because I'm working on a cyberpunk novel right now. So I could give you something pulpy and gross to read, and I can read your literary brilliance.
you'll have to give me the conventions of cyberpunk so I have something to go off of.
You pretty much just add tech or you just add technology sounding terms to a lot of stuff, and then it's a traditional noir otherwise.
Oh, good. So yeah. Somebody just has a bolt in their head and we're good to go.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Philip Marlowe is Philip Marbot and we're done. Well, hey, Brian, thank you for being on. This was so much fun. I'm glad we got to do this. It's always a unique situation to do it without multiple guests, but I think it went really well. I think we've been very entertaining.
I think we rocked it.
Yeah. And you know what? I challenge the listeners to reach out and tell us if we weren't or if we were. I mean, be as mean as you want. I don't care anymore. It's pretty much all over. You can tweet at me at Nate Regolia and let me know how entertaining Brian and I were for this program. We will appreciate it. Also, if you listeners like this show, please subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen. That really helps. We love seeing just ratings on iTunes are great. I think we have 20 something now, which is fantastic for a show as wee as this one. You know, and otherwise we've got social media stuff. We've got a Facebook group where people can play Pamu Pam de Terre online. This week, the week of this recording, we had to decide whether Alf, the lovable alien life form, Gordon Shumway, was an apple or a potato. Did many people comment? Join the group to find out. We also have a network, Facebook page for the Vague Idea Podcast Network, where you can get the updates on this show. You can get updates on Funky Spunk, the Sex in the City podcast that Zimmy and Britt do each week, and Roll for Blank, which is our actual play Dungeons and Dragons podcast. So that's exciting. If you want a little weirdness, you want to listen to people pretend to cast spells and make pop culture references that have no pertinence to the fantasy world in which they're told, it's great. Gosh, I mean, I have to say thank you again to Michael J. O'Connor for giving us our theme song, which is fantastic. You can check out his music at michaeljoconnor.bandcamp.com. Yeah, I mean, I'm going to plug what you plugged, which is, hey, let's just keep being healthy, keep being safe, wear your masks, get your vaccine, believe in truth and reality, and, you know, be good to each other, because we still need it. We still need people to be good to each other. We're not out of the woods, and honestly, it feels like the woods thicken every week for a new reason. So, yeah, Brian, did anything else you'd like to tell people before we check out?
Oh, I'm with you all the way, man. And summon your inner Steve Miller. Bring that magic.
Yeah. Get that space cowboy in here. Yeah. Maybe ask him to play Desperado, because that would be funny. He probably knows it, even if he'll be like, that's not my song, you dumbass. And that's fine.
Why am I here? Oh, thank you, Nate.
Yes, we have both had a vague idea about 80s music this week, and that is a good thing because the devil is in the details. Bye-bye!
Oh, that was great.
A Vague Idea is written and produced by me, Nate Regolia, Ms. Shannon Page, and sometimes John Peros. Information about topics often come from Wikipedia, so hey, why not donate a bit to that? Sound effects are Creative Commons public domain. If you like this podcast, tell a few people, and subscribe, rate, and review us wherever you listen. And if you happen to like reading science fiction, check out the small press I started with my friend Sean Grokowski. You can find Spaceboy books at readspaceboy.com.